This is Ecotopia on KZFR 90.1 Chico, listener-supported radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. And you're listening to Ecotopia, exploring ecosystems, environmental, technological, and social. I'm Steve Chudy.
And I'm Susan Chudy. We have two guests tonight. First, we'll talk with Ashley Kohler, a member of the board of Chico Velo, who will tell us all about the upcoming Wildflower Century and the different ride maps that allow everyone to participate.
And in the second half of the show, we'll talk with Shyla Black. She's program coordinator for Grid Alternatives North Valley, a nonprofit that helps low-income families save money while bringing clean solar energy onto the grid and providing volunteers and job seekers with hands-on experience in solar. Ecotopia is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Neil Yellen, a financial advisor with Edward Jones in Chico. No matter where you are in life's journey, Neil can offer guidance and strategies for wealth and retirement income, college savings accounts, estate and legacy plans, charitable giving, and more. For a consultation or more information, Neil can be reached at 530-345-8913. He's on the corner of 3rd Avenue and the Esplanade. Neil Yellen, Edward Jones Member, SIPC. And we're supported by J&J Automotive in Chico, with over 19 years of experience in auto repair and scheduled maintenance. Specializing in Subaru and Volvo, J&J provides everything from manufacturer-suggested vehicle maintenance to all types of repairs, including transmission and engine repair, brake and suspension tune-ups, lubes, filters, lights, and more. To book an appointment or more information, visit jandjautomotivechico.com. They're also on the phone at 530-891-3328. And we want to remind you that opinions expressed on Ecotopia do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, volunteers, board of directors, or underwriters. We'll take a short break and be back to talk with Ashley Kohler.
Bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
I want to ride my
bicycle. Bicycle, bicycle.
I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride. bite. It's a shark. I say, hey man, Jaws was never my scene, and I don't like Star Wars.
Say Rose.
I say Roy.
Say God.
Give me a choice.
Say Lord.
I say Christ. I don't believe in Peter Pan, Frankenstein, or Superman.
All I wanna do is fly.
You're listening to Ecotopia on KZFR. Our guest on the phone today is Ashley Kohler. She's on the board of Chico Velo. She's here to tell us all about this year's Wildflower Century. It'll be held April 23rd and 24th. Welcome, Ashley.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here.
Let's start. Perhaps you could give us a little background of Chico Velo. What's its mission and aims? Am I pronouncing that right? Velo, Velo?
I think it's tomato, tomato. I pronounce it Chico Velo.
Okay. Give us a little background. How long has it been around? What are the mission and aims of the organization? And then how many wildflower rides have there been?
Yeah, so Chico Velo is an organization, and so our mission is to promote bicycling for transportation, recreation, and health through public education, advocacy, and community stewardship. So at the organization, we are focused on working with the city and local organizations to help create safe and convenient bicycling and pedestrian infrastructure to provide active transportation for our city. And so the reason that we've put a lot of emphasis behind helping to prioritize active transportation is because in the city of Chico, at least, 61% of our greenhouse gas emissions come from transportation, so gas and diesel purchases. So here in Chico, our largest opportunity to reduce emissions and therefore reduce concerns like air quality is to transition to alternative forms of transportation. So we're working really hard here to educate people and to help them feel comfortable with making a switch from maybe gas pedals and opting for bike pedals whenever possible. We've been around for quite a few years, and I'm not exactly sure. I think last year we celebrated 2020 would have been 40 years of Wildflower
wow.
Ride. So we're going to do a really big celebration, but I'm sure, as you guys know, we had to cancel the 2020 wildflower. So we weren't able to host it in person. So we're really excited to be back this year in 2022 in person and hosting a really big and exciting wildflower ride.
And in addition to the ride, you have like events at the fairgrounds where people start and end the ride. Is that correct?
Yeah, so we've got quite a bit going on over that whole weekend, so on the 23rd and 24th of April. So on the 23rd, that's a Saturday, we've got what we call the Wild Fest, which is a pre-ride celebration. This event is free and it's open to all, so we highly recommend bringing your friends, bringing your family. This event starts at noon and goes until 6 on Saturday. And it's much more than just a rider check-in. So the purpose of it is for people to come in, get acquainted with the route and understand what they're doing the next day. But we also have food trucks. We've got a special wildflower beer that was brewed by Sierra Nevada. We'll have that on tap. And we'll have some booths selling some cycling-inspired items, some music, and much more. So highly recommend checking that out on the 23rd. And then on the 24th, we've got the ride, and then afterwards we'll be having some food for all of our riders.
Nice.
So you've given us the dates for the ride. For those who may not know about the ride, I think everybody in Chico does, but what are the routes? How does it work? What time do you get started on Sunday morning and so forth?
And especially because I love this about Chico Velo, who should participate?
That's a great question. So I kind of just mentioned some stuff that's open to kind of everyone, but we've got a lot of different things going on that weekend, and we truly have something for everyone in the community. So in short, basically anyone that wants to participate, we've got something for you, whether you want to come to Wild Fest and just enjoy some food and drinks. We've also got the ride, different routes. I'll talk about those in a second. And we're also looking for volunteers. So if maybe cycling isn't your thing, but you still want to get involved, we are looking for volunteers to do a whole variety of different things during that whole weekend. But to go back to the rides, my favorite things to talk about. So the Wildflower Century offers 7 different routes, ranging from 12 miles to 125 miles. This gives riders of all ages and abilities the opportunity to experience the wildflowers. So all the routes that we have begin and end at the Silver Dollar Fairground here in Chico. And the start times range from about 5:30 a.m. to 9 a.m., and that depends on which route you decide to take. Should I dive into all the different...
Because I think that that's really a great selling point, because literally, I was reading on your website and the stories that one family had a small child, like 5 or 6, and the child did the 12 miles out, and then they had a trailer for bringing the child back. So I thought that was great. So, dive in.
Definitely. So I'll start the longest route, and I'll go down to our shortest route, so that 12-mile one. But the longest route that we offer is called the Wildcat 125, and this route is for serious climbers. So if you like hills, I highly recommend this one. So this route includes the entire Wildflower Century with some additional climbing up to Sterling City. So I personally haven't had the opportunity to ride this one, but I've heard really good things.
Go ahead. Keep going. Tell us about the next one.
Okay, cool. So then the next one is called the Wildcat 100. And this route is all the climbing that I just mentioned, but with none of the flat stuff. So you skip the orchard. So again, if you're somebody that really likes to climb, you like to go up the various hills we've got in Butte County, this is a good ride for you. Cuts down on some of the mileage, but is really spectacular. Lots of really great climbing.
This is like you do Cherokee Road in that climb?
Yeah, so you'll go up Honey Run, you'll go up Table Mountain on the Wildcat 100, I believe. Let me just double check. But I believe that one, you're doing all the climbing that we've got available You'll do Humboldt Road as well, and then you'll go up Honey Run, up to Sterling City, Table Mountain, and then back to the fairgrounds. So all the climbing, that one's a lot of fun. I've done that one before. I personally love climbing, so this one's a good route to do if you like to go high up in elevation for your rides.
Keep going.
Okay, so the next one that we've got, the classic, the one that everyone comes to ride, it's the Wildflower 100. So this is a 100-mile ride. Takes you up Humboldt, Honey Run, to the top of Table Mountain, and it has just stunning views and really amazing rest stops. I know, you know, I don't think most people think, like, I'm going to go ride 100 miles because of the rest stops, but these rest stops are great. They have really good people that are providing bike maintenance at some of the stops. They've got really good food and just a really good atmosphere when you're riding that one. I've personally ridden the Wildflower 100 a whole bunch of different times, and each time it's been really fun, and there's just been different things that have happened to make it just really enjoyable and really memorable. The next one is the Wildflower 65. So this is a metric century. Takes you up Honey Run and then down to Lime Saddle and then through the valley and Orchards. So you get a little taste of everything, but with a little less mileage. This one's really a sweet ride. If if maybe 100 miles is just a little bit too much for you, 65 miles maybe more doable. This one is really great, and maybe a little bit more manageable time-wise. It doesn't take quite as long. So this one's a really nice one. And then the next three are our flat flowers. So these ones are only down in the valley and the foothills. So the Flat Flower 60 is fast, it's fun. You get to ride out to Lumberg Family Farms in Richvale and enjoy a really nice lunch out there and try some of their new products, and then you get to bike back into town. The Flat 30 takes you through Orchards. It's about 30 miles, and then through a few rolling hills. So that one's really enjoyable and really beautiful.
And then for
and
me,
then, yeah, certainly not last but least, the Flat Flower, also known as our Child Flower. And this one is really, really simple, super fun, great to take the whole family. I think you brought up that example. Load up the kids and the bike trailer. You can get one of those tow-behind bikes for maybe your kids that are starting to bike on their own. This one's really great. You go down the Midway, and it'll take you out to Durham for lunch. The Durham rest stop is phenomenal. They have activities for kids and an arts and crafts station. And it's a stop that I think most of the rides go to. So there's just a lot of people there really just having a good time enjoying the day.
So that's a stop, not just for the Wildflower kids, but
yeah,
for the...
Yeah, so that one, I think, a lot of people I think three or four of the routes stop at the Durham rest stop. So lots of different people coming through. So it's a good place for me. Like volunteering wise, I enjoy volunteering at that rest stop because you get to see a lot of different types of riders, long distance, climbers, people with kids. So it's a really fun rest stop to be at and just to kind of enjoy the day.
You get people from all over coming to this, isn't that right? Don't you have people come pretty far afield?
Yeah, we've got people all over California, all across the country, and I think we even have a few people that come internationally up from Canada. I think we've had some people come over from different places in Europe. So yeah, we have a whole bunch of different people that enjoy this ride. And I think in the past, I don't know, it's been 2 years since we've been able to host this in person.
Right.
But in the past, this has been like ranked pretty consistently like top 10 century rides. So it's well known and well loved by the people that ride it.
And how many people usually participate in all of the rides?
So in 2018 and 2019, we had about 3,000 riders. And then obviously in 2020, we had to cancel. And then in 2021, we had a virtual Wildflower. This was something that we offered for everyone to participate in. And we had roughly 500 people sign up for that. But this year, we're hoping to come back strong after postponing for 2 years. And we're hoping to have a really big, successful in-person event. So we opened up registration about a month ago, And we have about 1,000 people registered so far, and we're hoping to get back up to that 3,000 number. So we're hoping to have about 3,000 people come and attend this event.
That's amazing.
What kind of swag are you offering for riders when they enroll?
That's a great question. So this year, we're doing a really big push on our zero waste effort. Anyone that's attended the Wildflower in the past knows that we've tried to make this a zero waste event. So we're offering what we're calling a virtual rider bag. So we're going to offer a bunch of different discounts from vendors that we're partnering with. We're going to offer everybody a clean canteen cup. So you'll be able to enjoy water or maybe that Wildflower IPA that the brewery is making.
Uh-huh.
And you'll be able to enjoy that in your cup. We'll also have a whole bunch of stuff available for purchase on our website and then also in person. So t-shirts and I think some water bottles and some additional cups. So if you want anything else, that'll be available for purchase. But we're trying to minimize the stuff we're giving away this year and just make sure that it's full of just fun instead of stuff.
Yeah, good. Yeah, because that stuff sometimes just goes home and gets thrown into a corner and gets dusty. I know from experience. You talked earlier on about needing volunteers for the event. And with 3,000 people, which I bet you have, I mean, you still have, you know, almost 2 months until the ride. So I think you'll get your folks. What kinds of jobs do the volunteers do?
Yeah, so we'll need volunteers to kind of help with everything. So we'll need help with event setup at the Silver Dollar Fairground, helping to kind of make sure stuff there is running smoothly, doing things like rider check-in, maybe helping with some of the store management, and just kind of making sure that things are running smoothly. We'll also need people to help staff rest stops and to provide assistance for cyclists that are out on the road. So, you know, if somebody pops a tire, can't make it all the way back to the fairgrounds, we're looking for people to be able to ride around and help pick those people up. Anybody that's good with bikes, you know, we're always looking for bike mechanics to help fix flats or to maybe kind of help fix any other bigger issues that pop up as people are riding. 125 miles, a lot of road to cover, a lot of things can happen. So we want to make sure that we're prepared and able to provide people the support that they need. If you are interested in participating and you want to sign up, you can visit our website. Either one has information on how to volunteer. You can also email info@chicovelo.org. to let us know if you're interested, or maybe your organization, you've got a group of a few people that want to help. More than happy to help get you connected with jobs that make sense for you and your group. So highly recommend the email. Again, you can sign up through our website or online.
And could you give the website? And I have here two here, and I don't know which one is the most useful.
Yeah, so we have one website dedicated to just the Wildflower. So that one's wildflowercentury.org, and that will get you all the information that you need about the routes that I talked about, rest stops, Wild Fest, to register, and then also to volunteer. We have a second website, too, but that one has more details about the different programs and things that we do. Within the community, so different programs that we operate.
So do you need volunteers for other things other than the Wildflower ride?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we are a volunteer-run organization, nonprofit, and so we need people to help out with lots of different things. I think one of our favorite projects that we get lots of volunteers to help with is our trail work. But we also have an Adopt-a-Path program where we try to pick up litter on our various bike paths in town and bike valet. So we go to different events and make sure that people are able to safely and conveniently park their bikes and not have to worry about anyone messing with it. So we are looking for volunteers for those.
Yeah. I seem to have just seen you at one of those events this weekend. So thank you.
Yes, I love bike valet. I think it's great. And it's a great way to help educate people on our programs and then give people bike maps and get them connected with bike paths that maybe they weren't aware of before.
That's really great. One of the things I also really like about your website is your list of bike paths that are of all sorts around in the region. And so it gives people lots of ideas. And actually, I think we should use that, Steve. We always do the same ride. So it looks really great to have that. Is there anything else that we need to know about Chico Velo or the event? You told us, I had a question, the event is it's a great ride, but so much more, and you've told us a lot about what else is happening, but is there anything else that you want us to know about Chico Velo or the event?
Yeah, so I think the question, you know, it's a great ride and so much more. So first, this ride is a really great way for us to support local businesses and, like, showcase the natural beauty of Butte County. You know, it's a great place for everyone to come together and enjoy, you know, beer and bikes and great food. And it's a really great community building event. And the other thing is, and I think something that maybe most people don't realize is that this is Chico Velo's biggest fundraiser of the year. So, like I said before, we're a volunteer nonprofit, and every dollar that we raise during this event really counts. So without the wildflower, Chico Velo wouldn't exist, and we wouldn't be able to provide the community with bike valet, adopt a path, Trailworks, Kids Pedal, and all these other educational opportunities that we provide. So that's something I want to remind people, that you get to come out and enjoy the community, enjoy all these things that everyone loves, food, beer, but you also get to help support this really great organization and help, you know, sustain us for this year and years to come. So that's something that I think kind of gets forgotten about the wildflower. It's a fundraising event and something that's really helpful for our organization.
That's really great. We've been talking with Ashley Kohler about the Wildflower Century Ride. You can go to their website right now and register. The website for that is wildflowercentury.org. And it's coming up in April 23rd and 24th, right?
That's correct.
All
and
right.
Today is the last day for early bird pricing. So
is
your reminder. Go register and go save
register
yourself 30%.
Today, right now, as soon as you're done listening to Ecotopia. Thank you so much for joining us, Ashley. We really appreciate having you on.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Oh, wait. Steve has. Oh.
Nope.
Thanks, Ashley.
Once here at 6 o'clock, tonight will be North State Give and Take with Bobby Tryon. Bobby will be talking with the sponsors for an upcoming event at the Modern Museum of Art here in Chico that will be featuring the work of the beloved Cisco, who passed away about a year ago. It'll be a good program to hear about what's going on, how you can get involved. If you have examples of Cisco's work, you can contribute them for the exhibit.
So won't you come?
This is Ecotopia on KZFR, and our guest now on the phone is Shyla Black. She's Program Coordinator for Grid Alternatives North Valley. It's a nonprofit that helps low-income families save money while bringing clean solar energy onto the grid, providing volunteers and job seekers with hands-on experience in solar. Welcome, Shyla.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Let's start by telling our listeners a little bit about Grid Alternatives, what you do, how long has you been have you been around, and how do you provide clean solar energy to low-income families?
Yeah, so we have been around since 2004. We started in Oakland by a couple of engineers who were doing solar for bigger corporations and thought that that technology should be available to everyone. So they got together and formed a nonprofit and did their first install in Oakland. And from fast forward 18 years later, we're still around providing solar. And we went from a construction company to more of an environmental justice and renewable energy nonprofit. And we have multiple programs, and we provide no-cost solar for low-income homeowners, affordable housing developers, and we have a workforce training program as well.
So I have a lot of questions. So what are some of the programs? Can you tell us, you know, sort of how the structure of the Grid Alternatives works?
Yeah, absolutely. So our single family program has probably been around the longest, and it's funded and largely by, and this is our no-cost program, so if you own your own home, if you qualify for the PG&E Care Program, we don't partner with PG&E, but that's a really good way to qualify yourself. And this is paid for through a program called DACSASH, which is the Disadvantaged Communities and Solar on Single Family Homes Program. And this program is put together by greenhouse gas auctions, and qualifying areas are determined by a map of the California high polluting areas. Yeah, so if your home is in that area and you own it and your roof is in good condition and you qualify for that care program, we can assess you for no-cost solar.
Wow.
Here in Chico, it's a pretty small area, and it's Chapman Town.
Right.
Really about the area that qualifies for that. But across California, we're actually, we're an international organization, but across California, we have 6 offices, and so there, in other areas, there's a lot more area that qualifies.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about the criteria. What criteria did Chapman Town meet in order to become eligible for the program?
You know, I'm not actually sure the specifics on that because I don't work in our single family program, but I think it's relation to probably how industry used to be, and I think that's a good question. I'll have to follow up with our single family program.
Yeah.
I think there used to be some polluting businesses in the area as well, and it's probably the pollution carries across town and where it sits in the bowl.
And presumably income level would factor into that?
Well, not in terms of the Cal Enviro screen map, but in terms of disadvantaged communities, it does.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So finish telling us about the other programs.
Yeah, so some of our other major programs is our commercial program, which is what I work in, and we work with mission-aligned nonprofits and affordable housing developers to provide solar. So for nonprofits, you know, that solar can save on programming and or on their utility burdens to put that money towards programming in other areas. And affordable housing developers for their benefit, but also for tenant benefit as well.
Okay, right.
And
so now that all new houses have to have solar panels by California law, is that going to have a big impact on what you do?
It does impact us, especially our commercial program. All new buildings that are 3 stories and lower have to have solar. And so you know, our area is building more affordable housing, and we are all across the state to address the housing crisis. And so the majority of those will be required to have solar, which definitely provides a lot of work for us across the state.
Right, right. So how do people find out? Is that did I interrupt you in talking about the programs? Had you talked about all of them?
I could keep going. We have a few more.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I definitely want to talk about our workforce training program.
Yes, I want to talk about that too.
Yeah, robust. So that's like a major thing that we do. As an environmental justice organization, we definitely believe that people need more access to career pathways, hopefully in the environmental field, you know. So we have a job training program where you can be a part of our Installation Basics training program, which is remote right now due to COVID, but consists of a number of hours of training that you can do, 40 hours of training that you can do on your phone, so through videos.
Oh,
and
wow.
You learn solar installation and basic construction concepts and also career readiness, and you get a stipend at the end of it.
Wow.
And we do a lot of placement for that, a lot of placement in jobs in the areas with that program. We also have, we were working with AmeriCorps and we did like a year-long internship program where people can work internal and grid and learn various aspects of working for a nonprofit or installation, which is really awesome.
Yeah, that's really useful. Then, so many people that are looking for the right kind of training.
Yeah, right. It can be a game changer for sure.
Yeah. Were you finished talking about the programs yet?
Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to know how big the reach is. You said there are 6 offices in California. So North Valley covers what region, and what have they been doing in the what is Grid Alternatives done in the North Valley?
Our whole region, we have an office in Chico and in Sacramento.
Okay.
And our whole region is from the San Joaquin Valley up to the Oregon border.
Oh, wow. Mm. That's
big. Yeah, it's quite large. So we've done quite a number of single-family home installations across that region and worked with many different housing development nonprofits and agencies. Here in the North, like our area specifically, we did 35 job placements last year, which we're really excited about.
That's
about
terrific.
Went through our online training course. And that was with Butte College students and Workforce Alliance.
And with all the solar that's going to be having to go in with new housing, they probably all will be easily employed.
Yeah, we think so. That's the goal.
Yeah.
And the outlook, really, you know, that career pathway should really be blossoming with that Title 24 requirement. And especially in our area as we are rebuilding from disasters and you know, Paradise doesn't have the requirement for solar. That's the exception,
right.
But in other areas that still remain. So it's definitely a very promising green career pathway. But go ahead.
I'm just wondering how people find out if they're eligible, what the criteria are for being eligible to have solar. How did they go about finding that out?
Yeah, they can look on our website. That's a good start, which is gridalternatives.org/North Valley. They can also give me a call, and I can direct them to an outreach coordinator who can just have a conversation with them and talk in depth about the program and just ask a few questions. And I can give my number at the end or now, whichever you prefer.
You can give it right now and then again at the end, because if somebody doesn't have a pen, they can scurry off and get one while we're talking.
Perfect.
So give it now.
Yeah, my number is 530-217-6149. And I'd be happy to direct them or even just have a conversation about our programs. And that goes as well for any housing developers or nonprofits that might be interested in assessing their buildings for retrofit or solar as well. And I'd be happy to talk about that program.
Yes.
Our single family or our work first program.
So when people call you, they get some, like a project manager, or who kind of takes the project through beginning to end?
Yeah, we have some project coordinators who work with people throughout the whole process, and we provide all services in-house. So we do, for both our single family and commercial program, we do all the design and installation and permitting and interconnection, as well as working with rebate programs or any fundraising that might be needed sometimes, and various funding sources that we offer. And so for commercial, I would walk people through that process. And then for single family, we have outreach coordinators who would be with homeowners throughout that whole process.
And you provide solar for multifamily dwellings as well? Can people apply? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a couple different funding options for that. There's a state incentive called SOMA, or Solar on Multifamily Affordable Housing, and that's one of the larger ones right now. It doesn't cover the entire cost of the project, but most of it, and that's a reimbursement program through greenhouse gas emissions, or sorry, greenhouse gas auctions, to prevent emissions.
Right, yeah, we don't want to make them, we want to stop them.
Yes. And that's a program if you're retrofitting your building. Unfortunately, new construction doesn't qualify for that.
But I see.
Some things that do qualify you are you have to have more than 5 units, you have to be a deed-restricted affordable housing community, so that means have housing choice vouchers and that sort of thing. You need to have a roof that has at least 20 years of life left in it.
Oh, that's important.
Yeah, which is a big one. And that's for single family as well. We do need to have good roofs to put that solar on. But you should still call and see if you qualify, because sometimes we come across funding sources for re-roofing, which is
that's great.
Always the best when we do. that's the best scenario.
Yeah, right.
For commercial, for multifamily affordable housing, there is that SOMA program. There's also low interest loans that are possible. Also third-party ownership options called power purchase agreements, which we can do for nonprofits, which require no upfront payment, which is the most affordable way for nonprofits and housing developers to go.
So you
those
provide,
are largely our, yeah, go ahead.
No, but you provide, I keep interrupting you. So you provide tons of resources. I mean, you get, having built our own house, we didn't build it, but, builders did.
Yeah.
But going through that whole process of the permitting and making sure, all of the stuff that you have to know about in order to do a project, it's pretty challenging. And so you work with all of that whole part of that, right? And in addition to helping people find funding sources and figuring out how to make it work for them.
We do, and no project is the same. So it's always a fun challenge, and we're always up to the task. So,
tell us a little bit about your work as program coordinator. We can guess at it from what you said, but how do you spend your days?
I spend my days talking to nonprofits about their buildings and talking to affordable housing developers. Like I said, a lot of new construction right now, so collecting information we need to provide that technical assistance, which is doing the design work and the costing work and procurement and putting together that proposal and helping developers sometimes with language or letters of support in order to apply for state funding sources in order to get that development built. Just talking about our services a lot, and also doing a lot of community involvement. try here in Chico to be a part of our resiliency efforts that are happening in the area, mm-hmm. and our disaster work, making sure that renewable energy is a part of the conversation,
mm-hmm.
and really wherever we can plug in on environmental work that could benefit from renewable energy.
So where does Grid Alternatives receive its funding? It helps other people find funding sources, but you need a lot. Grid Alternatives needs a lot to do the things that they're doing. Where does your funding come from?
It comes from a variety of sources. So I mentioned the SOMA program that helped pays for our affordable housing installs. Definitely philanthropic fundraising. We have some good partnerships that really support our work, and that allowed us to actually, we're very excited. We completed six single family homes in Paradise with battery storage backup for some folks who lost their home, and that was some really good philanthropic fundraising for that. And we also the Deck Sash program. So kind of larger buckets are like that funding that's set aside on the state from greenhouse gas auctions, as well as working with CDFIs or community development financial institutions who offer very low interest fixed cost loans for construction costs for installs on affordable housing. As well as we do some state programs for EV charging installations also. Mm. We also have funding sources from, we participate in a state program through this strategic growth council called Transformative Climate Communities in Sacramento and Stockton, where we kind of run the gamut of our workforce, multifamily and single family programs in areas that are rebuilding or high polluting, in order to, and that's like a multi-stakeholder program where we might be doing solar on a multifamily community. Well, another nonprofit is planting lots of trees, and another one is building a community garden, and another organization is building or rebuilding transportation access to that community. So we work with that funding source a lot and those programs, which we're very excited about. And also government contracts for some items and state funding sources for our workforce program.
It sounds hugely complex. There must be must be some really good managers, like program managers and stuff, to keep this all kind of organized. How can people learn more about what you do? And is the work learning program, is that open to anyone, or is that a low income program as well? Can people become trained in solar? What are the criteria for that?
Yeah, thanks for coming back around to that. I love talking about the workforce program and that there's no experience required. You never have had to hold a hammer or anything.
That's great.
To complete the program and to become a solar installer. It's very learnable. And anyone can do it. Anyone can apply for it. We do cohorts throughout the year. And we will be doing more in Butte County and Sacramento area. So you can, again, if you want to find out more specifics about the program, mm-hmm. I can direct you to someone in our workforce program who can walk you through the criteria. And my number, again, is 530-2176-6149. I'm sorry.
Say it one more time.
6149. Yeah, thank you. 530-217-6149. I'd be happy to direct you to the person that can take you through the program.
And can people learn things about the whole organization through the website? Through your website?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a good website that lists everything that I've been talking about, and there's a link there. Actually, you can fill out to kind of apply.
For the
workforce training program, so that's a good way to go as well. There is some other emails listed on the website just for single family, so that's a good route as well.
And it's Grid Alternatives.
.org/North Valley
mm-hmm. because there are a number around the state. So
there are a number around the state, but you can always just go to gridalternatives.org and be directed, any one of our office areas.
Is there anything else that we should know about Grid Alternatives in the last 2 minutes that we have with you?
Give us a call. I feel like our funding sources are complex, and that part mm-hmm. can be a little overwhelming, but participating with our programs is not overwhelming or overly complicated, so don't be deterred by that.
So if they have even questions and want to know more, they can call you and you'll answer all their questions.
Or I will direct them to the person who can. Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you so much, Shyla. Our guest has been Shyla Black. She's a program coordinator for Grid Alternatives North Valley. And we really appreciate your taking the time to talk with us, because this is a really important program, really mm-hmm. helpful program. Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks for having me on the show. I listen every week.
Oh, thank you,
great.
Shyla.
Thank you, Shyla.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ecotopia on KZFR. As always, we appreciate listener input. Send us an email, ecotopiakzfr@gmail.com. Check out our programs. Our shows are always up the morning after on our website. You can listen to recordings. You listen to recordings of previous programs, as well as downloading recordings if that's your particular interest. We appreciate your support. Thank you for listening.
You are the new day. You are the new day. I will love you more than me and more than yesterday. If you can but prove to me you are the new day. No.
mine might stay yesterday. Thoughts that we as humans mourn could slow words and end it all. Lie around me where they fall before the new day. Before the new day. One more day when time is running out for everyone. Like a breath I knew would come, I reach for a new day. Hope is my philosophy, just needs days in which to be. Love of life means all.
Coming up next is North State Give and Take, and it's made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the Cotton Party, offering contemporary women's clothing and accessories with an emphasis on natural fibers in the heart of downtown Chico. Cotton Party has been providing friendly service for over 30 years at 337 Broadway Street. Cotton Party is grateful for your business and offers complimentary gift wrapping with each purchase. More information by calling the Cotton Party at 893-4923, and by the Printed Image, providing screen printing and embroidery in Chico since 1980. The Printed Image open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and by appointment. More information by calling 530-898-9525. Hi, you're tuned in to KZFR 90.1 FM, and you're listening now to North State Give and Take, where I do interviews with local nonprofits and people doing different things here in our community. These are pre-recorded.